Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Ready for an amazing deal? Breezeline's fiber-powered internet starting at $19.99 per month offers the reliability you deserve and security you can trust. Whether you're streaming, gaming, or working from home, we've got all your needs covered with speeds up to 1 gig and our 2-year price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with 2 free months of internet, free equipment, and free Wi-Fi your way to protect against cyber threats. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires July 8th, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgione, comedian, writer, and the possessor of the daintiest wrists in America. Today's guest is a beguiling writer, actor, comedian, and everyone's sassy gay friend. He was a creator and host of True TV's Talk Show The Game Show, host of the Pop Rocket podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, has published his own memoir, My Life as a Goddess, a memoir through unpopular culture, and is currently co-starring in the critically acclaimed romantic comedy Bros. Let's give a big, juicy, and very loving welcome to Guy Branum. Hello, Guy.
Hello, Solomon.
Welcome to The Juice. I'm happy to have you.
It's lovely to be at The Juice, and I'm really excited that I'm getting to talk to Solomon in Seattle. Solomon.
This is the truest version of myself. This is technically my hometown, even though I've been in Los Angeles for 11 years. And you were actually, I met you on my second day in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's very lovely. Last time I was in Seattle, I had dinner with our mutual friend, Lindy West.
Yes.
And getting to watch her like strut around Capitol Hill, running into people was really fun. It was very delightful.
Yes, I think she still has local celebrity status. I do not have that on par to what I used to have. So I can walk a lot longer before anyone goes, hey.
You have a national profile. You wore a cape on Two Dope Queens.
Like, look, I'm not complaining. It's definitely no complaints. But I'm happy to have you on the show because you have probably the best recall I know of any person. So I know you probably have some amazing gossip from your life. So I think this is a show built for two homosexuals.
That's lovely.
But also, more importantly, you were truly so fucking funny on Bros, and it was so refreshing.
Oh, thanks. That's very sweet. It was a really fun movie to do.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. And now it's streaming on Apple Movies
Yes. And
Amazon. So please watch it.
For me, I think it'll be a cult classic. I 100% feel that in my whole heart.
I hope so. It has a lot of jokes in it. And I'm very proud of that.
And you should be. You fucking wrote so many of them.
Yeah, it's like it was fun to have a little bit more support behind a gay movie than what has happened in past. And it's always wonderful to like those gay rom-coms from the 90s. People were truly making them with, you know, money that they borrowed from their friends.
Yeah.
And those were really good movies.
Believe me, I've watched all of them and I wish people would know more about Edge of 17.
I've never seen Edge of 17. I watched like 20 minutes of it, and I think I got to Lea Delaria being their manager at the restaurant where they worked, and then somehow I crapped out. I don't know exactly why. I feel like in a 90s gay rom-com, if I hadn't seen Parker Posey within 20 minutes, I was like, what are we doing? Yeah. One of the best things about gay comedy is that all of the legends of our field are around, available, and complaining about how they're not working enough.
Oh, yeah. I feel for the whole cast of Not Another Gay Movie. and also Eating Out.
Those Eating Out guys, they just got to be, like, WeHo famous, and that's enough. Like, they got to have all of the sex for 7 years after their Eating Out movie.
Well, I think some of them still are doing the sex.
Yes. I mean, good for them. Those films, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Eating Out movies, they're made by the very funny and talented Q. Allen Bracco, who I really respect. But he's making these movies on a dime. He's, you know, writing and directing himself. So it's basically like a Hallmark movie with wieners.
It is. Like, the one benefit of a lot of the gay rom-coms, it is, like, it's very close to soft core porn in some of them, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, hotness is one of the ways that you get gay guys to pay attention to things. Hotness and Tori Spelling yelling are pretty much, like, the two ways that you get gay attention.
There's also, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember the name of it, but it's where this gay kid goes to sleep and everybody switches sexual orientation.
That sounds like conceptier than I'm used to. I'm surprised I never saw that at an Outfest.
It was on Logo, I feel like, a decade ago.
Logo, during the, like, early years of RuPaul's Drag Race, truly was just like a jungle. Like, it was, yes. And there were so many gems. Like, that was where I found Cole and Jeffrey from Jeffrey yes. and Cole Casserole.
Well, the first and only time there was an all queer black cast in a show was because of Logo's Noah's Ark.
Yes.
I can't think of any other show that's ever done that since. And that show ended, I think, about a decade ago as well.
I'm always like, a lot of people, when people are talking about queer content and the lack of diversity in queer content, are yelling at some things and just not yeah. paying attention to other things.
Yeah.
My friend Nigel show runs this show called Saints and Sinners mm-hmm. That's on Bounce that is like super queer and super campy and yeah. like a super fun soap. And like, it just doesn't get any attention. And that's rough.
Yeah, we'll at least give it some attention at this brief moment right now.
Yes.
But you know what? I know that you grew up, was it Yuba City?
Yes, Yuba City.
What kind of farmland is Yuba City?
Yuba City is the prune capital of the world.
There we go.
I'm in trouble this week because I have not posted my promotional videos about the California Prune Board, with whom I now have a sponsored relationship.
What is your title?
I am the official unofficial ambassador for California prunes. But my family's farmland was almonds. So almonds are what I dealt with on a daily basis. And you don't have to do much to them except put a shit ton of water on them.
Which is why...
we're all angry at them now, yes.
And I think the dairy system did a great job at switching the blame to almonds, which is...
It's really true. I mean, and also almond milk, however wasteful of water it is, still doesn't take as much water for a gallon as keeping a cow alive for a gallon of milk does.
Yes. What is, like, Yuba City, what is that life like?
I didn't meet anyone who was not a school teacher who had gone to college uh-huh. until I went to college. Everyone either works agricultural yeah. jobs or construction jobs. Mm-hmm. Because, like, Sacramento has been growing a lot. And California has been growing a lot over the course of the past 40, 50 years. And so there are a lot of construction workers. There's a lot of hunting and fishing, a lot of which football team do you support? Yeah. A lot of recreationally driving trucks in mud until they flip over.
Wow. Because I grew up in Fresno, which is not too far. But I feel I definitely had, like, a lot of migrant friends. Yes. Seasonal friends. So, like, I would have friends for, like, 6 months and they'd go.
Oh, and so, and also the ethnic landscape is not mm-hmm. what you would expect from that kind of, like, farmy redneckiness.
Yeah.
It's like 1/3 white people who came from Arkansas, 1/3 Punjabis who have been there for like 100 years, mm-hmm. and then 1/3 Mexican American farm workers who, you know, a lot of them would come and go depending on whether we were harvesting yeah. things or not harvesting things.
So I feel like now we're talking to the territory, like, what is the gossip situation in Yuba City? Like, how does information of rumors pass in that situation?
Like, within my community, it is the job of older women, when they see each other, to just download
yes.
everything that has happened with every person who might be known in common, however it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Southern Baptist churches play a very important role in communicating this stuff. Men mm-hmm. aren't supposed to gossip,
right.
but do. In gender mixed spaces, women are gossiping to each other while men just, like, drink beer or don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But then in male only spaces, like on a job site, on like a farm, like then you sort of like lay out the stuff that people aren't supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as everyone learned from John Steinbeck, everyone in my town came from the sort of like South kind
yeah.
of, there's a nice Southern Gothic element of like a nice, big, juicy, that's not his mom, it's his sister, or like, that's not his sister, it's his mom. Like, those came up a fair amount of the time as like big, you know, mic drops.
Yeah, that sucks. That was my family personally. Like, we had, that's to my niece, who at 10 was like, your sister is your mother.
My uncle Kevin, who drank himself to death. But when he was 21, on his 21st birthday, he was 14 years younger than my mom. And he like came to her and was like, all right, now's when you tell me. And she was like, uh-uh, buddy, I'm sorry.
He was just hoping the whole time.
I mean, he had just like assumed in a very logical way, because we had so many family in Arkansas where it was like, oh, he thinks that woman is his mom, but her sister is his mom or whatever. And he just sort of assumed that would be true for him too. And it was not true.
Like, sorry, buddy, I'm actually your sister.
Yes.
what's the exception to the rule?
Yeah.
That's always heartbreaking when you find out that you're not the interesting family.
It's true. And then you, like, one thing that was cool was also sort of like, the little whispers of knowledge that would sort of like go in between communities on like a public school, like playground. That was where you learned stuff about like, you know, whose dad was shot as part of an Indian gang war, or like whose brother was caught watching porn.
Yeah. Were you a gossip by any means as a kid, or were you always a secret keeper?
I'm very bad at keeping secrets, but luckily when I was very young, I didn't have close friends. And so no one was giving me valuable secrets. I, as the lone Jew, I was the person who disseminated that Santa wasn't real around 7 to some key people on the playground. And that was looked on very poorly. No, let me tell you my first glorious moment of gossip. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was in preschool and Santa came, and I've had the secret knowledge that Santa wasn't real.
Yeah.
And it was a co-op preschool where the parents had to sort of like do some work for you to go there.
Yeah.
And so I went and I got on Santa's lap, and Santa had very rough hands that had concrete poisoning sores on them. And then I got off of Santa's lap, went back to the little cube that I was sitting on, leaned over to the girl next to me and said, that's not Santa, that's my dad. And that was sort of my first situation of being very bad at keeping secrets. And I've been bad at keeping secrets ever since.
That is, oh my God. Yeah, I feel like, because we were never told about Santa Claus, because my mom didn't seem to comprehend why somebody else would buy us gifts. Like, I'm giving who credit? I don't think so.
So, I mean, Ethiopia is Christian. Is there any sort of like notion of that kind of thing?
Well, there's a version of Christmas, which is like, it's not the same, but my parents definitely adapted to American Christmas in the most ludicrous way. Like, my mom would put up a tree, but she would sort of just fling all the decorations into a corner of the tree. And if you give her anything that has Christmas on it, card-wise, it's going on that tree. It doesn't matter if it's a coupon or if you're sitting here at a dental appointment. If it looks like it's a holiday thing, it's going on the tree.
I'm in the way that a person should never meet their heroes. I'm so terrified to ever meet your mom, because every story you have told me was of an overworked woman who doesn't have time to give a shit, but who has strong opinions and will tell them to you.
Like, look, she is what every gay person wants to be around. I understand that. I personally wouldn't do that to you. Because she will not give you the full show that she would give her children. She'd give you the standoffish version of herself, which is not fun.
No.
And I don't want to disappoint you and not get you the theater show that you deserve.
Yes, I only want to hear about her through you. And I also maintain that women only have gay sons to have an arch nemesis equal to their skills.
Oh, no, she's razor sharp me, and I'm very happy for it. So you went to Stanford, or?
I went to Berkeley.
And
at Berkeley was really my first opportunity to betray friends by revealing sensitive gossip to other friends. I was very close friends with a couple who I had met my freshman year in the dorms. And by like our junior year, they were stable and had been together. Both of them wanted to be lawyers. Both were Jews, blah, blah, blah. Like, this was a couple.
Yeah.
And then she had sort of never messed around with anyone else. and she went searching and learning.
Yeah.
And I was her confidant. And then, but I also talked to him all the time. And so I eventually decided to tell him for what reason, I don't know. But it comes down to neither of them speak to me anymore.
Are they still together?
No.
Okay.
It destroyed that relationship. And I think he ended up never getting married. He's now an attorney at Warner Brothers. Uh-huh. And he does real well. Like, when I meet him, he is dating women 20 years younger than him and always says hello, but truly does not want to get within 6 feet of me, which I understand and respect.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Ruining a happily ever after in your 20s is necessary.
Yes.
And important. I've outed cheaters before in my 20s. I probably wouldn't now because I'm not too concerned.
Yeah. And also just the notion of like obligational monogamy is ridiculous. Yes. And everyone is allowed to have the setup that they have. And I may not know your setup.
Yeah.
Though I do find myself to be a little bit of a prude. I found out that a lovely couple that I know, people that call, have you heard, they're swingers. And I was like, I was surprised by how much I don't want to know that about heterosexuals. Like gay guys, I'm fine being like, of course they are.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've reached a point where I'm much more supportive. If I end up in a relationship where somebody wants to be open, I will more than happy allow that to be the case. I personally don't want to talk to another person. so it's going to be a one-sided open relationship because I will keep my door closed forever.
The thing is if I'm with someone, I want them to be happy and I want them to have a sense that they can go and get and do whatever they want.
I also want them to leave me alone. That's also another great option of having somebody.
Yes, absolutely. Go elsewhere. After college, I went to law school.
Yes, Minnesota, right?
Yes, and law school is a den of whisperers. You know, it is sort of like constant backstabbing, constant awareness of each other's status. And I think that was where I first really learned to deploy gossip, to take down people who were attempting to take me down and that sort of thing.
This sounds fun. Law school sounds a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yes. And then law school is also where I came out of the closet. And so that started me on the journey.
You waited that long. I forgot. That's a lot.
It was really dumb. Like, I was in fucking San Francisco. You know, I was in Berkeley and I decided, no, Minnesota is where I have to do it.
Yeah.
Though people love to tell you that Minnesota is a good place to be gay. Sure. But the other thing was it was my first experience of going to gay bars and seeing the people who were closeted at law school, but who were out for gay bars, and trying to be like sassy and knowing at them about that. But it also started the weird process that lasted for many years of people who, because I was, you know, once I came out, I was very loudly gay always. And having people tell me that they were gay and think that I would, like, secretly gay and that I would be good at keeping their secret is so dumb because I can't stop telling people that I'm gay. You think I'm not going to tell people that you're gay?
Yeah, I won't do it now, but in my 20s, I've definitely done it a couple times where it's like, I can't hold the secret of your homosexuality because I literally just freshly came out.
Well, and the thing is like, I kept the secret. Like, so after law school, I started stand-up. And, you know, stand-up is also a rich world of gossip, but I feel like it's a very open world of gossip where you learn everything from just, like, talking to other people. And so that was very, like, productive and good gossip. But I got my first writing job at this place called G4. And I was a stop on the Underground Railroad for fucking closeted lesbians and bisexuals. And I did such a responsible job of not telling people, but it was like, truly stop burdening me with this. This is very hard for me.
It is a very difficult secret to keep. But also I feel like the climate now, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell them. Like whenever I find out somebody's like secretly, I'm like, good luck out there. I walk away because I can't help anyone in that situation. I'm like, you can't, when you're ready.
I knew this USC swimmer who like fucked a guy. He had sex with a guy and then he like was talking to his best friend processing afterwards. And then a couple of days later, that guy came back to him and was like, how dare you? And this was like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I didn't know that we were doing that. Like, there are some people who are invested in the cloak and dagger of homosexuality, yeah. but that really is from the past.
Yes. After you reach a certain expert level in homosexuality, you don't want to deal with anyone that's still figuring things out.
Well, it's always funny because I drive up and down the Central Valley. Like, you know, a person stops at a gas station, they open up their Grindr, and the number of people who are still, like, discreet or looking to, like, yeah. you know, cheat on their wife with you, always stunning.
And, you know, I'm fine with it. You know, there's a time and a place for that. People are into that. I put my face right on my profile. It's also my moneymaker. Why am I going to fucking hide my face? Why would I ever not show my face first? It's truly, I can't imagine a world where that's not important to me.
I mean, I'm so scared that we're going to lose you to drag.
I'm 40 years old, guy. There's no way I'm going to be able to walk in heels for more than 15 minutes without falling apart.
It's so terrible. Like, I worked with Jackie Beat at Fashion Police years ago, mm-hmm. and it was just like, Jackie Beat needed new hips because yeah. it was too many years of doing that stuff.
Yeah.
It seems terrible.
I learned how to beat my face. I learned how to style some hair. I can put on an outfit and exist for a little bit. I cannot do what those girls do, and I don't want to. I'm too successful in another career.
Yes, and it is that thing of, like, when you see queens on Straight Up Drag Race, not, like, one of the things where they're teaching rubes to do it,
yeah.
and you see somebody wearing flats or something like that, it's like, no.
No.
Like, we're paying you. You have to do your job.
I respect it too much that I will never... ever fall into that category. There is a part of me that will probably do it more often on stage, but not very, very often.
Truly wonderful.
Okay, guy, it is time to read a couple of the juicy submissions we get from our listeners. It's mailbag time. So I have two submissions here. Okay. I'm gonna read the submission and we're gonna give it a ranking. The rankings are dry, as in just awfully boring and not worth our time. Uh-huh. Moist, we're slightly satiated. It makes us, this is a little tantalizing.
Yes.
And then fully juiced. This, your chair's soaked. You're fully engaged. This is wonderful. A great fucking piece of gossip.
Okay.
All right, here's the first submission. When I was in high school, my mom would have sex toy parties with the ladies in our community. Similar to an Avon party, but with more dildos. A group of women from the party decided to plan a girls' night at a strip club. One of these women was my school's librarian. After the night at the strip club, my mom came home and woke me up because she had to spill the tea. My school librarian got pulled on stage during the show, and while on stage, she tried to remove the stripper's underwear with her teeth. Well, she accidentally bit the guy and drew blood. Monday morning at school, I told all my friends I regret nothing. side note, the sex toy parties included themed snacks. After one of the parties, my boyfriend and his friends were dropping me off at home and came inside to say hello to my family. We walked into my then 5-year-old sister asking for a chocolate penis. My mom cuts the balls off the dick-shaped cupcake and hands it to my sister. The reaction from two of the teenage boys watching this happen was 10 out of 10. Wow. What a wonderful life to live.
Truly. Like, I'm in love with these presumably suburban moms who are, like, this in touch with their sexuality to not be self-conscious about it. I love the mother's complete lack of boundaries with her daughter to just be like, I have to tell you, putting my friend who you are supposed to see as, like, a supervisor and superior, like, in jeopardy. And, like, that. What else do you expect a child to do with this information?
Yes. For me, this is a ranking of fully juiced. I want to hear this person's entire life story, and I feel like they should write a book about it. Like, a collection of essays is not that hard to do. It's a very popular writing format right now, so...
Also, that poor stripper, you know? I mean, I want to know his story. Did he stay in the game? Did he take his injury, his purple heart on his purple heart?
Well, if she drew blood, it would probably have to be from the pubic area.
Yes.
Because if you're pulling off underwear from the teeth, it's not right.
It's not right on the dick. That's true. But still, I mean, that would scar me emotionally and literally.
Like, she tried, but that's also... That's a danger. That's why usually they don't let them do that.
Right. Well, I do love this summer I was in Montreal and I went to one of the strip clubs, but it was ladies' night. And I just love when the power dynamic is, you know, mostly straight guy strippers and ladies, how much they truly let them do and how much the ladies, there's no concept in their head of I need to be deferential or respectful to this sex worker. It's just sort of like, of course he wants me to do this. I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous.
Well, the vibe difference between a mostly male room at a strip club, which is just men quietly sexually thinking nasty thoughts at this one person.
Yes.
While the women, on average, collectively come together and cheer and are joyful. And it's a celebration of their sexuality. It's like, this is a much better vibe.
Yes. It's fun in its way. And also, when they went back to the private rooms, they were staying back there forever. And I asked my friend, why are they staying back there forever? And he was just like, oh, they're fucking.
Well, good for them. Good for them. Good for them. So here's the next submission. Love the show. Okay, wow. Great start already. Perfect piece of gossip. Writing in about a small piece of gossip I heard while getting a tattoo the other day. So a woman came in with a story to share. She was having a whirlwind romance with apparently the most amazing man, a prisoner that she had been talking to for 2 months. So she decided to find a female tattoo artist to tattoo her ass with his initial. She called him in jail during the tattoo to tell him that no other man would touch her. He said he was proud of her, to which she replied with, aren't you turned on that a woman is touching me? best part, she did not get the periods after each initial, so her ass just said raw, R-A-W. So true love is not dead.
I love this. She is finding connections. She is... And I also love anyone who can ride the power game. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're given, like, man in prison, make man in prison aid, you
yes.
know?
What a wow. R-A-W. No period. Just, do you like the idea of another woman touching me? Like, what are you...
I mean, I worry this is fake. I worry that this woman just did it as performance art in the tattoo-like place, but I still think that's juicy if the woman just did it as performance art.
Oh, here's the thing. When it comes to rumors and gossip, facetiousness is going to exist, and that's why, and that's, I'm very pro-lying and exaggerations.
Also, it kind of doesn't matter. I'm sorry, I'm naive about this, but it kind of doesn't matter because, like, when you say something enough, it becomes true, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Richard Gere had a gerbil in his ass, and there's no way around that.
Look, what Rod Stewart got his stomach pumped from all that semen. Let's... Was it Rod Stewart that was the one that got that rumor? I can't recall.
I think now.
That rumor was passed along to several people, and I think the last person was Little Kim.
Oh, really? The notion of having semen poisoning, like, what would your body do?
It's true, like, you can't... You can't consume that much semen.
And also, if you've had your mouth on that many dicks to get that much semen, to get, like, getting guys to come in your mouth, you're gonna just get gonorrhea along the way, you know?
Also, your jaw would fall off first. Okay. That is, hands down, you would not be able to move your mouth. You would get lockjaw halfway through.
I mean, look, if you started out with, like, 22-year-olds who are just ready to go, you could maybe get it down to, like, 6 or 7 minutes a guy. But if you have anyone over 30, I mean, it's going to take me a very experienced hand 30 minutes just to get one of them.
I can do it. I've ranged from 3 minutes to 30. No, that's a lie. I've ranged from 3 minutes to finishing the job to 15 minutes of me being done with the work. And say, you belong to the night, sir. I cannot take care of you anymore. but that is, yeah, that was fully juiced. Thank you for being an amazing eavesdropper and also listening to this show. I appreciate you out there. And yeah, that was, please continue eavesdropping because that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. No, it is really wonderful to, like, start to get a picture of who people are just from a little bit of eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. Like, the other night I was at dinner and this guy was just so so mentioning all of the things in pop culture he was supposed to be mentioning. He's talked about Billy Eichner and Bros. He said something about Don't Worry, Darling. And I was just like, I just want to hear your conventional wisdom of pop culture right now.
That's it. I think I was so hungry for, like, once the pandemic ended and I was able to go to a restaurant for the first time. I remember going to an Indian restaurant and there was this family just bickering. And I leaned in because I was so, like, they, like, all they were doing was discussing how their one son refused to get a CVS card.
And, oh, that's wonderful.
And he just refused. Like, he was like, he didn't want to sign up for it. He didn't want to be part of what, like, and it was just like, it was truly like 5 minutes of the most boring discussion and me just being like, I'm so happy to hear other people's problems for once.
No, it's just so beautiful when you walk into a situation and a dynamic is so clear that the story just starts telling itself.
Yes. Do you rate this one Fully Juice as well before we move on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah. And that's the mailbag. Thank you so much for sending in your mail. Okay, guy, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the Juice Line.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Howdy, Adam here from Peak Design. We make backpacks, pouches, phone cases, the kind of stuff that you use every day of your life. And guess what? Our bags are fair trade certified, guaranteed for life, and really well made. So here's my offer. If you find a Peak Design product you like, get it for 20% off. Visit peakdesign.com/podcast. That's P-E-A-K design.com/podcast for 20% off your first Peak Design order. Thanks for checking us out.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with the always amusing Guy Branum. All right, Guy, now's the time on our show when we go to the phone, we call it The Juice Line. And usually here at The Juice, we have a listener submit something. This time, we have somebody I would technically consider one of my best friends. And it is a special treat. He's an amazing comedian and a delight and one of my favorite people in the world. The one and only Casey Lai.
Please hold. Thank you.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, explain to me this technical part of our best friendship.
You know what? There's a lot of technicalities. I think we're just there's no choice now. We can't back out.
That's very true. That's very true. We're bound by various, you know.
Curses, demons, and secrets.
We did that whole, like we never did like a blood brother thing, but we definitely have like opened up our secret wounds to one another and pressed them together.
We've seen each other do too much and do too little at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm so happy to have you on the show because we gossip together so much.
I also gossip with Casey on a very regular basis.
I also know Guy very well. I'm the meat in a friendship sandwich right here, and I'm having a wonderful time.
You belong
time.
To both of us.
I do. My favorite position. Ham.
First of all, where are you? Are you in your car?
I am in my brother's car in the greater Mill Valley area. Also, I'm really happy you led this way because I was like planning this as being a random person because I listened to the show and I'm always like, I was like, I've never heard you have like a good friend on. And so I was like getting ready to gear up to pretend I don't know you guys and be like, hello, sir. My name is Casey. My last name is pronounced
I would Lai. Never. I've seen you act. I would not do that.
Do you still have to make it down to San Francisco for by 8?
Yeah. But I'm in the Bay Area doing some shows. I'm a comedian and I'm at my brother's house in Mill Valley, which is across the bridge. And I was going to do it inside, but all four of the regular inhabitants of that house arrived at the same time, and two of them are young and very loud.
and they want their uncle.
And they want their uncle. So I didn't want to do this with two toddlers climbing all over me for the show, Solomon. I'm here for the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I thank you for the sacrifices you make for me.
God, you see, he finally is getting it.
It's only because we're recording. I will definitely be mean to you after this.
Can't wait.
But yeah, this is the floor is yours.
You know, I want to preface this story by saying, like, there's a little bit of, like, conspiracy theory in it. And I, you know, I'm just not, you know me, I'm not like a QAnon or incel kind of guy, you know, and no offense to, like, your audience members who are. I don't want to offend anyone, not in this day and age. But that's not me, you know, but because of that, but I am Italian. And
yes.
You know, like conspiracy theories and things, that's just gossip. You know, we all have like a cousin Anthony who was talking to his girlfriend Isabella, whose brother knows a guy who may or may not have been involved in a murder of, you know, a very well-known person who may or may not have been involved in like an international crime. You know, we're just Italian. It's just like what we know.
Yeah, just Italian.
Yeah, you know, people talk. And so, you know, I know a good Italian is supposed to, like, keep his mouth shut about these things, but I'm also half WASP, and they are very chatty.
Yes.
So I'm, like, the best of both worlds. Like, I know a lot of shit, and I love to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm from Rhode Island.
Yes.
The littlest state. And Italians, you know, it's so small, and there's so many Italians that... We all kind of know each other. Like, you know this. Like, I'm basically related to Lady Gaga.
oh, Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I'm not technically, but, like, she almost did marry, like, you know, a second cousin once removed of mine. So for, like, 2 years, I was very nearly Lady Gaga's second cousin once removed
of mine. The amount of times I heard that you are related to Lady Gaga during those 2 years was... insane.
Well, you know, I mean, as a gay comedian, I don't have a lot of street cred, you know? We're not the most popular in the gay world. And so I was leading with my best foot forward for those 2 years that I was technically Lady Gaga's future second cousin once removed from law. but, you know, we all just know each other. And Rhode Island is small. And not all Italians in Rhode Island are, you know, in the mob. But we all are like adjacent. We all know people who are in the mob for sure. Like I was on a mob yacht several times before the time I was 13 years old. Like
really?
Our parents had friends, you know, we went to school with like these kids and then turns out we were on their giant 180-foot yacht off. It was always had to be off the coast, like far off the coast of New England because he was only allowed in the country for like specific months of the year. And in the rest of the time, he had to be in international waters. So he had this giant yacht that he just traveled around, you know.
Oh my God.
Rhode Island childhood stuff.
Yeah, it's very normal. Very normal.
And so, and this, you know, another guy, like my mom and our neighbor were like perpetually fighting and he was a really bad dude for a variety of reasons. And one time my mom destroyed his fence with her car. She drove over it because it was impeding UPS trucks from getting in and like, you know, delivery trucks from getting into the driveway. And she tried to pay a UPS guy to knock it down, and he wouldn't do it. He was like, "I'll do it, but you have to sign this waiver." And my mom was like, "Well, I'm not gonna fucking sign the waiver." So then she knocked it down, and then the guy sued her. And then, you know, a friend of ours, you know, a friend of the family who I didn't know much of at the time, he offered to take care of the problem, so to speak.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's like the milieu in which I'm being raised in, you know, a real hot cauldron of just like saucy mob stuff. So, so my mom's sister married a guy like 10 years ago, her second husband. And they're since, they're about to be divorced. And so I don't feel bad, like, you know, kind of talking about this shady character who I don't have a lot of affection for.
fuck him. Good.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the only thing, I hope he's not listening, but,
Should we not say your last name?
Well, you know, yeah, it's because it's like, you know, like, and I'm not saying that this guy is in the mob, you know, but like, did his father own a strip club in the suburb of New York City named Goombas? He did. and did he live in a mansion that is like has like a white grand piano and like Romanesque marble statuary, and it's just like way too big for whatever like container company he works for. You know, it's like there are a lot of questions. Is there money in the walls? Yes. I would assume there is. So a couple of years ago, my mom calls me up, and she is like, "Oh my God, you're never gonna believe this story. You know, such and such, who is my sister's husband at the time, you're not gonna believe this. His brother is Jeffrey Epstein's cellmate in prison."
Oh my God.
What? He,
so this guy, I have no relation to this person. Yeah. You know, this is my this is my mom's sister's soon-to-be second ex-husband's cousin.
Just as close as you are to Lady Gaga, yeah.
honestly, I'm claiming them both because adjacent, I want to be as adjacent to celebrity as possible. and he was in jail for, he was a bad cop, you know? And he murdered four people in a drug deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I guess he buried their bodies like on his property and there was like a whole to-do. And he ended up in jail in the same prison. Guy, are you asking a question? I saw you like.
I just wanted to say it's really bad luck that Jeffrey Epstein, who had a huge amount of information that could compromise many people in power, ended up being cellmates with a former police officer who is well documented as being someone who is willing to do illicit things for people in power for large amounts of money.
Well, thank you. Weird. Someone must have been reading the internet. Because there is a lot of speculation, of course, that this man is the person, the hired hand who killed Jeffrey Epstein. Because there are a lot of irregularities. Jeffrey Epstein, international Mr. Man of Crime, you know? And he shouldn't have been in a cell with anyone. He was supposed to be in solitary confinement. There's very unclear information about that. This guy, the cousin, my cousin, I'll call him my cousin, whatever. He's my fucking cousin. apparently there's something about he had like a cell phone that he wasn't supposed to have. So there's a lot of like weird information. And again, it's a little conspiracy theory, but you know.
Yeah.
And also apparently Jeffrey allegedly had tried to kill himself beforehand and Nick saved him. So they were like friends or whatever.
Yeah.
But before Epstein is killed, we find out that he's in jail with this guy. And we're hearing all this stuff and the guy is like, you know, we're kind of like buddies. And Jeffrey Epstein apparently was like, they're going to kill me. They're absolutely going to kill me. This is not going to happen. And like, to a certain extent, like he was, it was making it sound. We were hearing that like, this guy was like, well, maybe I can help you out of it in any sort of way. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, Jeffrey Epstein is dead.
Yes.
And thank God, you know. hand of God, hand of, you know, HRC. Who knows? Who knows? Hand of the Queen.
Who knows? We don't.
That's
we don't
for
know.
Speculation.
Know.
And I don't know anything about that. What I know is that said person started putting out the information to the family and, you know, by various means that he's going to be set up for this. Like, of course, he's an easy target. He's a piece of crap. You know, he killed four upstanding drug dealers in the greater New York area. You know, you know, dead, buried him in his yard. What a, you know. And so on the one hand, you're like, sure, he killed people, but they were drug dealers. It wasn't like he took out their whole families. But he starts talking about being set up for it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the internet is awash with the theories. They find out about this you know, poor quadruple murderer who is being framed for, allegedly framed for the murder of Jeffrey Epstein. And I just, you know, I mean, that's basically the rounded out version of the story.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I've been scared to tell this story. I didn't want to get, you know, I didn't want to be next.
Well, you're not next. He's still in prison.
Yeah, I know, but the tentacles run far.
yeah, that's why you're part of, you know, a family.
Exactly. You know, an Italian family is like a giant plate of just like fried calamari, you know, the real tentacly kind, you know.
Oh, the gross one.
It's all lumped together, and no matter what, one piece is touching another at the end of the night. thank you for allowing me to share a story that centers me.
I just want to say a cab. But also Scabe. some cops are interesting bastards.
True that. You know?
Look, there's stories that have to be told. And you know what? We found two things out about you today.
Yeah. What were those things?
You were related to
Lady Gaga.
A possible murder and Lady Gaga. who can also be possibly a murderer. We don't know.
It's possible, you know? I mean, she's a monster.
Jeez. That was good gossip, though. That was very
good gossip.
Thanks.
How have you not told me this before?
I don't know.
You haven't told me either. You've known both of us for a very long time.
Well, you run a gossip podcast. I didn't want you spreading the news everywhere. And Guy's an infamous, you know, chatter. So.
Yeah, we keep... There's zero secrets kept. And if this was a secret, we would have told everybody.
Yeah. It's real. I'll send you the name. Or just Google Jeffrey Epstein's cellmate, but don't tell you I told you to do that.
Thank you so much, Casey. I love you so much.
Love you guys. Have fun.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know that.
That was very good gossip.
Casey's good for that.
Yes.
But Guy, thank you. That is the show, and that means it's the end of it all.
Thank you so much for having me. I would love to see you back when you're in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I miss you, Solomon.
I miss you, dear. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and it's always, always good to see you. Thanks so much to the very quick-witted and hilariously funny Guy Branum for joining me on today's episode. You can see him in Universal Pictures' feature film, Bros, now playing in theaters and streaming. As always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Also, please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us all those stars. It would mean the whole world to me if you did. And thank you for listening. And as always, have a juicy day.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.